Hi, this is Rick Warren, and you're listening to Daily Hope. You need to show audacity if you really want to stand out at work. Has anybody ever told you that? If you want to be successful in your career, you're going to need to show what's called audacity. Now, what in the world is audacity? It's the courage to think big. It's the courage to take risks. It's the courage to show initiative. It's the courage to have faith that you can dream bigger than you've ever dreamed before, even when you face the possibility of a failure. That's audacity. We see this trait through many people in the Bible, but especially in the life of Joseph. He had a dream so big, so incredible, and so audacious. Actually, nobody in the world believed him. None of his family believed in him. It was a dream that could be only fulfilled by depending on God. Now, there's going to be times when God asks you to take a big step of faith at work, even when nobody else thinks your plan will work. So let's see what else God has to say about your work and how to succeed by looking in the Bible. Let's get started now on our Daily Hope from Scripture.
Today on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren, we continue in our series called Doing Business with God. Now in these lessons, we'll learn what it truly means to do our work as unto the Lord, and how our work can be a form of ministry to others and worship to God. Whether your work is at home, on a job site, in an office, in just a few moments, we're going to let you know how you can find significance in your occupation, allowing you to enjoy your work more than ever. How does that sound? These insights and more are part of Pastor Rick's study kit called Christians in the Workplace. And you can take a sneak peek right now by going to rickwarren.org while you listen. And if you want, you can just text the word daily to 313131. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called Standing Out at Work.
What does it take to get a promotion? Most people think that promotions are given as a reward for past service. I did good in my job, therefore I get promoted. That simply isn't true, friends. And you need to eliminate that myth from your mind. That's not why people get promotions. People don't get promoted for past performance. They get promoted on the promise of future performance, that they'll actually do better, accomplish more, be more beneficial to the company in the future. It's not a reward for the past. In fact, if you didn't do a good job at work, you might not ever get promoted because you're doing such a good job there. Let me before we even actually get into the message, let me give you what I call the laws of promotion. Okay, there's no room on your outline for this, so write it on your arm, okay? Law number one of promotion, to get a promotion in a business, is this. Promotions aren't given to reward past performance. They aren't. They're given as a promise for future performance. Number two, if you are more valuable where you are in the job you're in right now, you're not going to get a promotion. Now listen to me very clearly. Irreplaceable people don't get promoted. Does that make sense? Because if you're doing such an incredible job at what you're doing, nobody wants to move you. Because you have made yourself so irreplaceable. You're the only one who knows how to do that in the company. You didn't train anybody else. And if you are irreplaceable, then you won't be replaced. Here's a little tip from your pastor. If you want to get promoted, you need to train somebody to do what you're doing. So you're not irreplaceable. You need to train somebody else to know all of the inner secrets of the job that you do so you could hand it off. Law number three of promotions is, if it costs your employer more to replace you, you're not getting replaced. They're going to hire somebody else. If a job opening comes up, but to replace you would cost more because of what you're doing, they're not going to replace you. That's why you don't want to be irreplaceable. Not if you want to get promoted. Number four, the fourth law is this. You only get promoted if your employers think you will benefit their future more in a new position. Now you need to realize this. When people are being considered for promotion, they're not thinking about your past, they're thinking about their future. Let me say that again. People aren't thinking about your past. Oh, she's done such a great job. She should be promoted. They aren't thinking about your past. They're thinking about their future. But if they see how you could actually help them get to where they need to go, then you have a greater chance of being promoted. Another law, fifth law, would be this. If you are working in a job or you're working on something that becomes unimportant in your company, then you increasingly become unimportant to getting a promotion. So what I'm saying is this, you always want to get involved in the projects that are most important to your company, even if you have to volunteer to do it. It may not be your current job, but if you hear about a project that's going on in your business that you think that's important to the future of the company, that's where you want to volunteer. Say, I'd be glad to help out with that. Volunteering is a great way to do that. You got to get involved. And then finally, rule number six is this. Promotions aren't based on how good you are. Promotions are based on who knows how good you are. Does that make sense? You could be really, really, really good at your job, and if nobody knows it, you're not going to get promoted. Promotions aren't based on how good you are. They're based on who knows how good you are. Now, you say, well, I don't want to be bragging. This isn't bragging. It's not a sin for you to let people know what you're good at. You need to understand that. It's not a sin to let people know, particularly in the business where you are, what you are good at. In fact, this is what Jesus said, Matthew chapter 5, verse 15 and 16. Don't hide your light under a basket. Instead, put it on a stand. Let it shine for all to see. In the same way, let your good deeds, circle that, good deeds. Let your good deeds, let the things that you're good at, your good works, your good deeds, let your good deeds shine out for all to see. Circle the word shine. Shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Did you know that God wants you to shine at work? Did you know that God wants you to shine out at work? He wants your work to be so good, and He wants everybody to know it's good. Let your good works shine out so they give praise to your heavenly Father. Christians should have the best reputation for quality work, excellent work, energetic, enthusiastic work of anybody. God wants you to shine out at work. He wants you to stand out at work. So we're going to look this weekend at how you do that. How do you stand out at work so you get noticed? If you've ever wondered, how do I get out of a dead-end job that I feel stuck in? Or how do I get a promotion when all my peers are getting promoted and I'm not? Or how do I get hired for a job when there's so much competition competing for the same job? How do I stand out in that job interview process? If you've ever asked those questions, you picked a good week to come to church. Because we're going to look at that, how to stand out at work. And we're going to look at the six most promoted traits. These are the six most in-demand traits that employers look for when they're looking for somebody to say, let's give that person a promotion. How do I know this? Because they're covered in the greatest promotion story of all time. Genesis chapter 37 to chapter 50 is all about one guy, and his name is Joseph. Joseph is the most amazing story of promotion ever told. Now, everybody loves a rags-to-riches story. We like these stories, rags-to-riches. The guy who is a nobody who becomes a somebody. Well, that's exactly what happened to Joseph. In fact, he went from being a slave to going to prison. First, he went from being kidnapped to being a slave to going to prison to being the number one guy in charge of the greatest country at its pinnacle of power, the Egyptian Empire. He was second only to Pharaoh. Pharaoh put him in charge of the entire country, and he wasn't even Egyptian. Now, that's what I call a promotion.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's study called Standing Out at Work from our series called Doing Business with God. If you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. That's rickwarren.org, or just text the word DAILY to 313131. Again, that's the word DAILY to 313131. The second half of today's study is coming up next.
Many people aren't excited about their work, and they may even dread it. Maybe this is because we see our work as a necessary evil or just a means to an end. But when you look at your work from God's perspective, there's so much more. Did you know your work can be a form of worship to God? The Hebrew word for work in the Old Testament also means worship and serve. It doesn't matter if you are working in the home, at a job site, or in an executive office. Your work can be a ministry that brings honor to God. Pastor Rick Warren says that you'll find real significance and meaning in any job once you've got the Lord's perspective on it. Today, when you support Daily Hope with a financial gift, Rick wants to send you his study kit called Christians in the Workplace, equipping you to live out your faith at work. This biblical look at work includes a 6-session DVD and workbook that will give you the tools you need to find purpose in your work, allowing you to enjoy your job more than ever, or maybe even for the first time. These insights and more are part of Pastor Rick's study kit called Christians in the Workplace, equipping you to live out your faith at work. And it's yours when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. Just go to rickwarren.org to get your copy, or you can call 800-600-5004. And if you've got a smartphone or tablet, just text the word DAILY to 313131.
Once again, here's Rick.
Now, everybody loves a rags-to-riches story. We like these stories, rags-to-riches. The guy who is a nobody who becomes a somebody. Well, that's exactly what happened to Joseph. In fact, he went from being a slave to going to prison. First, he went from being kidnapped to being a slave to going to prison to being the number one guy in charge of the greatest country at its pinnacle of power, the Egyptian Empire. He was second only to Pharaoh. Pharaoh put him in charge of the entire country, and he wasn't even Egyptian. Now, that's what I call a promotion. Going from prison to president in one lifetime. That's what I call a promotion. And the Bible tells us that these stories are in Scripture to teach us by example. And we're going to look at 6 traits in Joseph's life that caused him to go from being in prison to becoming president, the greatest promotion in history, and put him in charge of the most powerful empire of its day. And he saved not only Egypt, but also Israel and a number of other countries. So get out your pencils and your pens, open your Bible to Genesis chapter 37. We're going to look at what it takes to get a promotion. Now, the background, there was a guy named Abraham. And Abraham had a son named Isaac, who was the promised child. And then Isaac had a son named Jacob. These are the patriarchs of the nation of Israel. Now, you've heard of the 12 tribes of Israel. They came from the 12 sons of Jacob. Jacob had 12 boys. And each of his boys founded one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Son number 11 was a guy named Joseph. And he was daddy's favorite. And because he was daddy's favorite, he got preferential treatment, and it made the other 11 brothers hate Joseph because he was daddy's boy. And he was the second to the youngest, but he was the most loved, obviously. His dad even went out and bought him a very expensive multicolored coat one day and gave it. And Joseph was stupid enough to wear it around in front of his brothers and rub their noses in it. And they just hated him. And so they wanted to get rid of him. And one day they conspired to kill him. They said, let's just kill him. We all hate our brother, so we're just going to kill him. Reuben, who was the oldest, said, no, we can't kill our own brother. I tell you what, let's do. Let's sell him into slavery. Oh, that's very helpful. Thank you, Reuben. Very, very nice. So some traveling Arabs come by in a caravan, and they sell Joseph to the Arabs, the Midianites, and then they fake his death and claim that he was eaten by a bear. And the Midianites take Joseph on down into Egypt, where now he's not just a slave, he's auctioned off to a guy named Potiphar, who was a Egyptian official. But Joseph had some amazing qualities, and we're going to look at them this weekend. And so wherever he went, God just blessed him. And he kept getting promoted. Even in the worst circumstances, he kept getting promoted. He had what was called favor on his life. And God would bless him, even though everything was going wrong in his life, he would find blessing in that circumstance. And so he goes to work for Potiphar, and he does such a good job, Potiphar just really begins to like this kid. And he really loves him, and actually he learns to trust him more and more and more, and pretty soon Potiphar puts him in charge of his entire house. And then Mrs. Potiphar begins to notice that this guy is good looking. I mean, he's a spitting image of Rick Warren. You know, bulging biceps, you know, just an incredibly sexy man. He's Gangnam style. I mean, really, he's just incredibly sexy. And so she starts trying to seduce him. With Joseph, being a man of integrity, refuses to do this, refuses to give in. We'll look at this in a minute. But finally, once she spurned enough times, she cries foul, and she claims that Joseph raped her. Actually, Joseph did the exact opposite, but she claimed it. And so Potiphar, very angry, has this man who he had trusted thrown into prison. Now, his life has gone from bad to worse. First, being rejected by your family. Second, being kidnapped. Third, being taken hostage to a foreign country. Fourth, being sold into slavery. And fifth, being falsely accused of rape and thrown in prison. Not a very good life, would you say? I mean, he's going, where is God in all of this? And you may be in a stage of your life where you're going, where is God in all of this? The story isn't finished in your life. God had Joseph exactly where he wanted him to. It just so happened that Pharaoh had two of his court cabinet, his cupbearer and his baker, had offended Pharaoh at some party. And so he had his baker and his cupbearer thrown into prison along with Joseph. While they're in prison, they both have dreams. And Joseph goes, well, you know what, I'm not a dream interpreter, but God can tell you the meaning of that, and so I'll pray and ask God. And so God tells Joseph the meaning of these two dreams. He shares it with the cupbearer and the baker, and the bottom line is that the cupbearer gets restored to power, the baker is killed, and Joseph says, by the way, when you get back into the palace, you might put in a good word for me. Well, the guy promptly forgets Joseph, and doesn't even. So Joseph is languishing longer and longer and longer in prison. Then a little while later, Pharaoh has some dreams, and they're very, very disturbing. And when he has these dreams, he's going, I wonder if anybody could tell me the meaning of these dreams. And all of a sudden, the cupbearer goes, oh, I know a guy who could do that. I forgot to tell you about him, boss. And the guy says, well, go get him. He says, well, actually, he's not Egyptian. He's Hebrew. He's Jewish. Well, where is he? He's in prison. Well, get him out of prison and bring him here. So they get Joseph out of prison. They have him go shave. They have him take a bath. They have him put on clean clothes. He comes in, and he correctly interprets Pharaoh's dreams. He says, the two dreams you've had are this. You're going to have a good economy for 7 years. And he says, things are really going to go great, and you're going to have abundance, there's going to be fruitfulness. But he said, after that, you're going to have 7 bad years where it's going to be recession. It's going to be famine. It's going to be starvation. It's going to be really bad. And Pharaoh goes, well, what do you think I ought to do? He goes, well, you ought to go out and find the smartest man you can find and put him in charge of a plan to have people save 20% of the profits every year during the 7 good years and put them away and store all the wheat, store all the grain, so that then when the famine comes, you don't lose your kingdom and you make it through a tough time. Pharaoh goes, you're the smartest guy I know. And he promotes him. And he issues a decree and he says, everyone is to say, to follow anything Joseph says from now on. I put him in charge of the entire nation of Egypt. He's now in charge. The only person above him is me. But every decision he makes, you are to follow. And so wherever Joseph goes, they all bow down to him. He's now the most powerful man on planet Earth. He's gone from prisoner to president. That's quite a promotion. What happened in all that time? How in the world did that happen? Well, from his life, we learn the six traits that get you promoted. The six, and these, by the way, today, even today, they still work. They're the six most in-demand traits that employers look for when they're looking for somebody to hire. Let's look at them. By the way, these traits are not in order of importance, okay? They are in order of the story. So they're chronological. It's not like the first one's the most important. It's just the one that comes up first. So they're all important. Number one, the first trait that Joseph shows is audacity. Audacity.
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, simply go to rickwarren.org or iTunes.com and download the Daily Hope with Rick Warren podcast to listen again. Rick's going to be back in a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. Now, whether you work in the home or on the job site or in an executive office, your work will become exciting when you look at it through God's perspective. That's why today, when you support Daily Hope with a financial gift, Rick wants to send you his study kit called Christians in the Workplace, equipping you to live out your faith at work. This biblical look at work and employment includes a six-session DVD and workbook that will give you the tools you need to make your work a form of ministry and worship. This resource will help you find purpose in your work, allowing you to enjoy your job more than ever, or maybe even for the first time. How does that sound? These insights and more are part of Pastor Rick's study kit called Christians in the Workplace, equipping you to live out your faith at work, and it's yours when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. Just go to rickwarren.org to get your copy, or you can call 800-600-5004. And if you've got a smartphone or tablet, just text the word daily to 313131. And now Pastor Rick with a final thought.
A number of years ago, I was writing a book and I got a letter from the publisher telling me all the things that were wrong with my book manuscript and why it would never, ever sell. One of the things the publisher said, your book has 40 chapters and nobody ever reads a 40-chapter book. Another thing the editor said was, there aren't enough stories in the book. But I explained that I didn't want to use anecdotes because I wanted the book to be international, not just for Americans. And then the editor said, it's got too many scriptures in it. And there were an average of 6 or 7 verses per page. And I told him, I trust God's word more than I trust my own words. And he gave me a whole list of concerns. But when I wrote him back, I said, you know, I value your opinion, but I really believe this is the way I'm supposed to do it. And I believe that I've been directed by God to do it this way. And if you don't want to do it this way, the way I've done it, then that's okay. I'll take the book back and I'll publish it myself. The publisher wrote back, said, no, it's okay. We'll do it your way and we'll publish it. Do you know what that book was called? The Purpose-Driven Life. You see, sometimes the experts are wrong, and sometimes you have to step out in faith. That's audacity. Now, let me ask you, where do you need to be audacious today, this week, this month? I'm not talking about being arrogant. I'm talking about being audacious. Where do you need to believe God? Where do you need to trust God? Where do you need to step out in faith? Where do you need to think big? Where do you need to take an initiative and to step out on the edge and out on the limb where it's dangerous? You see, you never need to be afraid to go out on a limb because that's where the fruit is. You've got to take risks to live by faith. And if you're not taking any risks, you don't need any faith. If you don't need any faith, you are being unfaithful. So ask God to show you the answer to these questions. Thanks for listening today. I hope you'll join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.